It's time now for the rural news with Sally Murphy in Ōtautahi. Kia ora, Sally. And the Prime Minister's trade trip to the US could provide good opportunities for our primary exports.
Kia ora, Mani. That's right. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern is heading to the United States today on a trade mission. Minister of Trade and Agriculture Damien O'Connor is joining her, as well as representatives from kiwifruit company Zespri, dairy cooperative Fonterra, and meat company Silverfern Farms. Executive Director of the New Zealand International Business Forum, Stephen Jacoby, says obviously the best outcome for our exporters would be a free trade deal with the US, but he says that's very unlikely to happen, so it's good to keep conversations ongoing.
In the primary area, a number of our larger exporters are all represented in the United States and have been able to continue doing business there. But what we're seeing with them is a change in the way that business is being done. We're seeing a lot more emphasis on joint ventures, strategic alliances, and in direct investment, trying to work with United States companies. At the recent US Business Summit, there was quite an emphasis on this. And so I think the Prime Minister will be wanting to assist that effort, and that's all good stuff. There's an important trade policy component to the visit as well.
So how could we get better access for things like our red meat and dairy?
Well, the fact of the matter is the United States is not interested in a bilateral free trade agreement. We've tried that for many years now. They left the Trans-Pacific Partnership and show no signs of wanting to get back. Today, we understand there'll be an announcement about the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework, which is the United States' blueprint for economic engagement in the region, but that's not a free trade agreement either. So I think it's a matter of continuing to push the message that for the economic relationship to truly flourish, we need to put in place the conditions for better market access and better rules around the relationship so we don't get disadvantaged from time to time by protectionist actions on the part of the Congress or through, you know, better arrangements that apply to those competitors of ours that already have FTAs.
The US market is huge, so any improved access would provide great outcomes for New Zealand exporters. Leaders from Beef and Lamb New Zealand are also heading overseas this week in a bid to strengthen trade relationships with the United Kingdom and European Union. New Zealand signed a free trade deal with the UK in March this year, eliminating tariffs on 97% of existing exports, including wine, honey and onions. Beef and Lamb Chief Executive Sam McIver will meet with overseas counterparts, including farmers and government officials, to further advocate for New Zealand's primary industries. He says the UK visit aims to build support for the successful ratification of the trade deal and to allay any concerns. He says some British agriculture groups are apprehensive about the deal, and he wants to assure them that New Zealand is a reliable and trusted trading partner. To other news now, a seven-year program which is looking to reduce the amount of spray used on crops by using beneficial insects is proving successful. A Lighter Touch, set up in 2020, is working to develop biological control agents and biopesticides to gradually replace current crop protection regimes. Project lead Jeff Smith says model farm projects have been set up around the country as demonstration sites for farmers and growers to see how different concepts can work.
To date, we've got model farms for onions and vegetables up in Pukekohe. We've got greenhouse tomato sites in the Waikato. We've got arable activities in Canterbury. We're in the throes of putting together a squash program in Hawke's Bay and Gisborne, and of course we've got the citrus biodiversity project in Gisborne.
He says interest in the program has been high as more growers look to reduce the amount of spray they use.
I think that there's a number of drivers. The economics, it costs the spray. There's obviously pressure from the market, so market acceptance and market access, because we're talking a lot about export from New Zealand. So it's not just the domestic market, it's the overseas markets as well. A big thing for us is managing the resistance to crop protection products that we have now. We've got a shrinking pool of crop protection products available to us, and so the pressure of resistance building up to those is increasing all the time. So managing those products that we do have and keeping them sustainable for as long as possible is front of mind as well. And then the more direct drivers such as operator safety, I don't think growers and their staff go to work wanting to spray every day. So if we can take the pressure off the need to spray, that's great for them. And obviously, at the end of the day, the environmental impact from less agricultural chemical input is really important.
Jeff Smith says now that the base sites are set up, more options and proven methods will be trialled on them before being extended onto commercial orchards. And just lastly, the A2 Milk Company, in collaboration with Lincoln University, has set up a new initiative to support sustainable dairy farming projects. The $500,000 fund will provide grants for ideas that meet sustainability objectives, such as lowering greenhouse gas emissions and improving farm system resilience. A2's head of sustainability, David Akers, says the scheme aims to reduce on-farm GHGs, or greenhouse gases.
We don't want to be too prescriptive on the specific types of projects. Our focus is to have, at least for the first year, the focus is really to be looking at ways to reduce GHG emissions on farm. But we also want to have these grants linked to other sustainability objectives as well. So our key priority areas for this year will be for projects that have the potential to lower GHG emissions, but also other things as well, such as increasing on-farm carbon sequestration, other farm system resilience projects, and other things linked to biodiversity and improved soil health as well. So we're really keen for farmers with innovative ideas to be bold, to bring those projects forward, and bold, innovative projects will really look to back.
David Akers says successful projects will receive funding for 1 year to get started. And that's the Rural News for today. Kia ora te pūrongo o te tai whenua.